Penny Marshall became one of America's favorite TV sitcom sweethearts when she played Laverne on Laverne and Shirley. She went on to become one of our foremost female directors with movies like Big and A League of Their Own. Now she tells the story of her life in her new memoir called My Mother Was Nuts. It's published by New Harvest, and I'm very pleased that it brings Penny Marshall to our show. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Why that title for a memoir about your life? How did your mother's nuttiness shape you?
Well, didn't your mother shape you?
Yeah, but although my mother could be a problem, I don't know if I would have given my memoir that title.
Well, my mother was slightly nuts, and I'm not so sane myself, but she was a great influence on both my brother, my sister, and myself.
And she was an entrepreneur with a skill and a business of her own.
Yes.
And she was really your introduction to show business, wasn't she?
Yes, she was a tap dancing teacher in the basement cellar of our building near the incinerator, and where you kept your bikes and sleds, which was this room called the ballroom, which might have been a ballroom and it was nicer in the Bronx, but it was a cellar in my opinion. And she tapped. She loved dance.
How did she learn to tap?
She'd go to shows.
Mm-hmm. She just taught herself?
She taught herself, and when she was like 17, she was teaching already different people.
I assume she taught you as well. Do you tap?
Yes, I can.
Uh-huh. How many students did she have? This was a time when there were a number of places all over the city where the Star Time Kids kind of thing, where
I was on Star Time.
You were?
Yes.
How'd you do?
Well, Star Time was like, you know, a regular show. Connie Francis was the big name. Joe Pesci also sang on that show. But it wasn't like a contest thing.
Well, you were on the Ted Mack Amateur Hour.
That was more of a contest thing.
And that was a hard show to get on to. Was that after you were on the Jackie Gleason show?
No. Oh. Before.
Mm-hmm. So
they needed we were precision tap, like the Rockettes.
Uh-huh.
So they needed an opening number for Pat Boone to come through for their finals. And I don't know, some piano player.
So you were the opening number for Pat Boone.
Right. So we were three-time winners. You know, my mother, all the kids put signs up in their elevators in the Bronx, vote. Mm-hmm. I'm having a party, 50 people here.
This is like the June Taylor dancers.
Yes, we danced with them on the Jackie Gleason show. And yes, they did precision tap.
That's because your mother met June Taylor?
Yeah.
So actually, she was a great mother to have, don't you think?
Well, if you like dancing... I liked to play. I wanted to play in the street. I wanted to play with the boys. And as I got older, I liked boys. I didn't want to be in the cellar.
So it was, to some degree, were you bringing in some of the money to support the family?
What, the $20 we got for Jackie Gleason?
To some degree, I suspect it was your mother living through you. She would have liked to have done these things herself.
She would have liked to have been a dancer when she was young, but in her period of life, you were a hussy. Mm-hmm. You know, so she taught. And then as a 17-year-old, she was teaching neighborhood kids, but I wasn't born. And she went on and did it. And then when they moved to the Bronx. I wasn't born yet when they lived in Pelham. You know, she taught all the kids in the neighborhood. And if they couldn't afford it, she didn't care. Mm-hmm. She did feel that everyone should have the opportunity to entertain.
And you did give her that opportunity on Laverne and Shirley. You brought her on?
Yeah, but she said, why do you let your brother dress you so stupid? You know, she had an opinion on everything.
Your brother was directing that show.
No, created the show.
So June Taylor thought you could be a professional dancer.
If I took some years of ballet. I hated ballet.
Your brother and sister, Gary and Penny.
Gary and Ronnie.
What did I say, Penny? They were much older, weren't they?
Yes. So, I was the unexpected mistake.
Were you close?
Not. I didn't know them. They were gone when I was 8.
No, you said
now we are.
Once you get past 20-something, age suddenly compresses, doesn't it?
But when you're 8 and they're late teenagers and they were off to college, you know, so I thought I was an only child.
What kind of marriage did your parents have? If your mother was nuts, as you say in your title, was your father okay with that?
He didn't care much for my mother. I'm sorry, but they didn't get along so good. So well, my English isn't the best. But I got the brunt. My brother always says I got the brunt of it because they were planned, and then they were out of the house, and I was the only one left. And by that time, there was no facade even put up between my parents.
So they stayed together for the kids.
Oh, because juvenile delinquency came from broken homes.
So there you were, faced with doing what your mother wanted you performing. You wound up getting married very young. Was that a way of escaping all of this?
I think we all got married as soon as possible. My sister got married.
To right get out of the house?
To get away from the Bronx. At one point, my parents lived in New York, in the Bronx. My sister got married and lived in Park Forest, Illinois, because she went to Northwestern. My brother was out in California, and I went to college in New Mexico. We were all in different time zones. You put it together to see whether we wanted to get away from our parents.
How long did that marriage last?
First one, around 2.5 years or so. We were very young, you know.
And then you wound up in Hollywood because your brother was there?
Well, I wasn't going back to the Bronx to my parents, so I went to say, let's meet my brother.
And Gary at that time was not directing. He was writing, right?
He was writing for Dick Van Dyke, for Danny Thomas, for every sitcom there was.
And what did you hope to achieve there? Did you want to get back into show business?
It wasn't that I wanted to get back. I didn't think I was in it. I never counted my mother's thing as show business. It was just something my mother made us do.
So did he help you get parts?
No, oh, absolutely. He told me where to go to talk to this guy about acting class, talk to this guy about unemployment, which I thought was, ooh, unemployment. I mean, I didn't have any money in New Mexico, but unemployment? Was a temp, and all that. But I ended up teaching dancing school there because you didn't have to get up so early in the morning.
So you wound up doing what your mother did, teaching dancing. It was suggested that you try your hand at stand-up comedy, but you weren't interested in doing that?
I'm not good on my own. I'm better with someone next to me. I mean, I'm not a person who goes on their own. It sounded like a lonely life.
Well, though you could have done Martin and Lewis,
a female version. Then I had to find someone who was, I knew.
And then you say that you're also insecure about your looks. That's something that's been a problem all your life, despite your success?
Yeah, well, we weren't the best-looking show on television. Cindy's cute. But Lenny Swiggy and myself, come on, Phil Fawcett, these are not great-looking people.
Weren't you cast in a commercial with Farrah Fawcett?
Yeah, a dandruff commercial. I had the dandruff.
You had the dandruff. She had the great hair.
Yeah, she just had run out of shampoo. She was very sweet. She had just come out from Texas.
Now, that was paying the bills, but it also had to hurt a little bit.
That didn't hurt as much as being cast as homely girl at bar.
Where was that?
That was on A Love American Style. You know, writers got to be careful when they write in the stage direction. You know, I mean, that sent you to therapy. You know, and, you could tell the director or the producer or something, but you don't have to, have someone come in. You're reading for the homely girl at the bar.
Another person, a character actor, told me that he'd get a script and there would be this part and say, little man with greenish pallor enters the room. He said, my part. So how did you meet Rob Reiner?
I met him after an acting class, actually.
He was in All in the Family, wasn't he?
Not yet. This was late 60s. He used to hang out at Barney's Beanery. This place I was taking some acting class, and we'd go to Barney's Beanery, and I had heard of him.
Well, you both had grown up in the Bronx, but the Bronx is a big place.
But the Grand Concourse is a big street. Mm-hmm. And he moved to New Rochelle. His family moved to New Rochelle when he was 7. So we didn't go to the same school or anything.
He assumed that you were Jewish. Did it make a difference when he found out that you weren't?
Not really. I could pass. I went to kosher camp. I could baruch atah. Happy Rosh Hashanah, by the way. My mother sent us to kosher camp because it had better food. Uh-huh. Did you want to eat Spam? No. Want to eat fish? No.
You were on your brother's sitcom, The Odd Couple, while Rob was in All in the Family. So that had to be a happy time.
Yeah, I was only recurring, as they used to say. Mm-hmm. So it was 7 out of 13. And Bob was just all in the family. He didn't think it was going to go more than 13 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it didn't have that high a rating.
No, it did very poorly at the beginning.
But then it got nominated for everything. So he was support on that show. Then I did Laverne and Shirley. And Bob actually did The Last Odd Couple that I was on. I went off and married him. And I mean, very incestuous family.
How long did that last?
Well, we were together around 10 years. Hmm.
You also, there are a lot of other people that you talk about in this book. John Belushi. Now, how did you meet him?
I actually met him with Rob before Saturday Night Live. He was in a show called Lemmings that Tony Hendra, who we knew from L.A., and Chevy Chase was in it, I think Gary Goodrow. And we had gone to see the show. We were in New York, so we went to see the show. And we went out to dinner with John and Judy Belushi. And Rob and him did Marlon Brando impersonations for 2 hours straight. And then John and I remained friends, as well as Judy. And so on my weeks off from Laverne and Shirley, if I didn't go to La Costa someplace to chill, I'd come into New York and hang out at SNL.
You also were friends with Carrie Fisher. And
still am.
That's how you met Art Garfunkel?
Yes, because she was dating Paul Simon. And Artie was out in L.A., and so she said, let's go over and say hi to Artie, who I didn't know. I mean, I know of him. And so we met.
Although they were reputed to have been estranged at the time.
But I didn't know this. I had my own problems.
Do you think that you played a role in bringing them back together for that last concert?
I don't know. We had gone, well, Carrie, Paul, and I had gone folk art shopping that day. And then we came back to Paul's apartment. And I forgot I had a date with Artie for dinner that night. So I called Artie and said, come pick me up at Paul's. And there was a little hesitation. I said, what's the matter? Come pick me up, you know? And I had no idea they didn't get, I don't know. I'm doing Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, like, yeah, well, but you'd had, I'm sure that you've had similar experiences working with people. I don't know whether you got along well with Cindy Williams.
Yeah, I got to call her back. She called me.
Oh, good. You directed a few episodes of Laverne and Shirley, and that, I assume, gave you a taste for directing, or did you know all along that you'd wanted to direct?
No, everyone directed by that. After the fifth year, I had two ones to direct this week. There's so many doors you could come through. You know, Cindy directed one. Michael McKean did. The script girl, the camera operator, whoever was around, who wants to direct this week. So I did like three of them.
But you obviously enjoyed it because you've done very well.
But that's three camera in front of an audience. You rehearse, the writers rewrite. It's a little different than one camera, which I didn't know that much about, you know.
It's almost impossible for me to believe, but Robert De Niro almost starred in Big.
Well, yeah. Everyone turned it down, including Tom Hanks.
Wow, and I'm sure he is glad that he changed his mind.
Well, I think Bob made everyone change their mind about it because there were two other movies, like Father Like Son and Vice Versa, that were already shooting with a similar premise, so everyone turned the movie down. So I said, well, let me go a totally different way, you know, and Rob, I'd pay to see Bobby dance on a piano. Mm-hmm. He does behavior great, Bob.
Well, he wound up appearing in Awakenings.
Yes.
And then you had Madonna in A League of Their Own.
Yes. She passed the baseball test at St. John's here in New York.
And what about your baseball test? I understand that you have an incredible collection of sports memorabilia.
Yes, I do. It's not just baseball. I have football, basketball, and baseball.
Did you pull back after you had some physical problems?
Pull back.
On working?
Well, I had to pull back, and then it was all over the world, you know. Yeah, I was sick. But then I'm okay now. But some of the rags, I'm sorry, still say she's sick. You know, they had the disease wrong anyway. And so they kept saying every 3 months, you know, pray for her or something. And thank God for the NBA because they're great guys. I'm a big basketball fan. They say at the beginning it was like, you okay? We love you, you know. But I'm fine. But they still like to say, so it's hard to get work is what I'm saying because they keep.
We got to get you another film. Meanwhile, you have this book. I don't have much time. A listener did want me to ask you about The Savage Seven, one of the first movies you were in.
Yes.
They remember them all. Maybe he has to ask you personally, because you will be reading and signing books tonight at 7 at Bookends in Ridgewood, New Jersey, then this Thursday at 12:30 at Postman Books in Grand Central Terminal, and Friday at 7 at The Strand on Broadway and 12th Street. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.